I'll be reading some selections from 1 Peter in just a moment. It just seems like there's no end of people we want to thank for the support and prayers and encouragement during these last few weeks, and obviously FTPC. I also want to thank my dear brother Kent Murahashi, who filled the pulpit the last two Sundays. I'm sure, as you are aware, he probably mentioned he and his wife Kathy are very familiar with Harborview. Their son David experienced a much more serious brain injury and spent a lot longer time in Harborview than Marcy. And he's over 3 years out and continues to improve. But they very much could identify with us and came, and it was something David really wanted to do. He and Kent came and had prayer with Marcy and us. It was special. Harborview is a huge, complex hospital, by the way. And even in the midst of this challenging time, the Lord enabled us to have some good laughs, too. As Marcy got better, and especially after a week ago Friday, there was kind of a turning point. And then she began eating like a regular person again and enjoying food and, you know, being thankful for a saltine cracker, you know, just anything, you know, is great. And she began then walking a lot more. Initially, it had to be some hospital staff, but eventually she was allowed not only to let me take her, but to move beyond her particular wing there. So we began exploring Harborview. We got to really know the hospital better as we spent more and more time going further and further out to where I felt I could be a tour guide for Harborview. And we had fun. At one point, we were on the sixth floor in kind of a wing that's, you know, a little obscure, and Marcy saw a taped X on a door, and she said, "That's where the treasure is," you know, like a hidden treasure. You know, you have to go all around Harborview and eventually find the marked spot. So we found that. Another time when Jeanette was with us, and you know, it was in the evening, so some of the wings are just closed. They're not used in the evening, and they have these long hallways, fun places to walk. So I grabbed a quarter, and I wanted to see how long I could wing that thing down the hallway. And it went quite a ways, by the way. But then came the challenge of finding the quarter. And at one time, after one of the throws, it kind of went around the corner, and Jeanette was convinced it had gone under a door. And I was convinced it hadn't. And I'm down feeling under the door. I said, "There's no way it could have gone down under there." So, and eventually we found it 40 feet down the hallway. So we just had fun like that. And then, of course, Jeanette was worried they actually have cameras watching all this. Someone's got to be. We thought, oh, well. But the Lord gave us some light moments in this whole time. We're just kind of held on the cushion of the Lord's grace and mercy through this experience. And we realize there's still more of the journey. As Marcy does speech therapy, and then, you know, again, the reality is there's this kind of big question mark still. But we just, again, trust in the Lord because it's not a question mark to Him. And we're thankful for that. Well, there was a family that was eating. And at one point, this little boy looked to his mom and said, "Mom, are caterpillars good to eat?" And she said, "Well, no. But why would you ask a question like that?" He said, "Well, there was one on your salad, but it's gone now." You know, sometimes people may prefer that a question they ask doesn't get answered. And I wonder if that was the case with Pilate. As Jesus appeared before Pilate, almost now to the time of his crucifixion, and one of the things that Jesus had said was, "My kingdom is not of this world." And my guess is that Pilate may have had a sigh and think, okay, this guy's not really a threat. Because Pilate was a regional king. And he answered only to one greater than him, and that was the king, the Caesar in Rome. But then Pilate asked Jesus another question. He said, "Where do you come from?" And Jesus didn't give any answer. And that ruffled Pilate's feathers. Because when a king gives an order, he expects it to be obeyed. And he asked Jesus a question, and Jesus didn't answer. So then Pilate asked a follow-up question that, on retrospect, he maybe wished he hadn't asked. He said to Jesus, "Don't you realize that I have power to set you free or to have you crucified?" Jesus looked at him and said, "You would have no power over me if it were not given you from above." In effect, he was saying to Pilate, "You may think you're hot stuff and you only answer to Rome, but let me tell you, ultimately you answer not to Rome, but to God." The Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. And even at that moment before Pilate, Jesus was the King. It's just that Pilate didn't know it. Even today, many people who hear about Jesus don't recognize that He is indeed the King. But friends, we here do recognize that truth. We do honor Jesus as our King. And so I want to ask you a question that we will want to hear the answer. We won't wish that we hadn't heard this. As followers of our King, we want to hear the answer to this question, and that is, since we believe that Jesus is our King, how are we best to follow Him? And for that, I want us to dip in to 1 Peter. I'm going to read some selected verses. I want to start in chapter 1, read the first verses 3 through 6 of chapter 1. Let's hear the Word of God. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." And then over to chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." And back to chapter 2, verse 12. "Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." And then one more verse, chapter 4, verse 10. "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." What I was saying before about that passage from Isaiah 50, you know, "Whoever walks in the dark, let them trust in the Lord." In serving our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bottom line is we trust Him and we obey Him. We know what His Word says and we believe and then we follow and trust Him. He is Lord, and what He says, we do. That includes, and this is the hard part, that includes those times when the Lord asks us to do things that we may not understand why He's asking us to do that. And it also includes those times when He allows things to happen in our life that we may not understand why. His wisdom is so far greater than ours that the bottom line is we trust and obey. And that's really what we've experienced these last few weeks. We're not saying that God caused whatever happened to Marcy with this stroke, but God is sovereign and He allowed it for His glory. And in the midst of that, even though there were times that we didn't know what was going on and we had to just receive the Lord's peace in the midst of anxiety, Marcy and her parents just kept trusting the Lord because He is good, He is faithful, and He's loving. That never changes. And so that's kind of the bottom line. We trust our King. We obey Him. But beyond that, what do we do? And that's why I want to dip into 1 Peter, because I see a connection between Peter's first readers and us today. Peter's first readers, don't get ahead of me here, they were undergoing persecution in the Roman Empire. A Caesar had arisen who was hostile to the Christian faith and the concept of another king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so persecution was coming upon that part where Peter wrote to believers in what is present-day Turkey. And persecution was coming upon them. And so Peter was writing to them. Now, in no way are we experiencing any measure of the persecution that Peter's readers were. And certainly we are not experiencing the degree of persecution that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ today are experiencing in other parts of the world where there's hostile governments and hostile faiths that they are contending with. We're not like that. But here's the connection. As we've been saying, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our King, does not change. But the landscape around us has changed and is changing. And the reality is that evangelical Christianity is increasingly seen as being at odds with the prevailing philosophies of our society. We're out of sync with the philosophies around us. And as a result, we have been marginalized. And that is where I see the connection. Peter is writing to believers who are marginalized. And we can tap into what he says to them and apply it to our lives. And so I have, beyond trust and obey our King, I would like to suggest three things we see in these verses I read that speak to us about how we honor our King as we follow him. And the first is that we give praise and thanks to the King for our salvation. It's interesting that Peter, as he starts a letter in which he's giving instructions how to stand firm in Christ amidst the persecution, starts off with praise and thanksgiving. And the reason is clear. All that we receive in the Lord, which he speaks here about how we have a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been given an inheritance that is an incredible inheritance. It will not be taken from us. All that we receive in Jesus Christ so far surpasses whatever else we may experience in this broken world, that we are filled with praise and thanksgiving. And that, as Marcy was sharing, she, even in the hospital, even when she wasn't feeling well, was overflowing with thankfulness. That first night in the ICU up at Harborview, and Marcy wasn't feeling well. She was being wakened frequently by different medical people who would take her vital signs and so forth. And that particular night, the next morning when we arrived there, we found out that some of the staff were calling that room the thankful room. They just could see such a difference there. Now, I want to say something. Listen carefully to this. This was not only a testimony to Marcy's deep faith in Jesus Christ. It's also a testimony to the prayer support of you. Because as you were interceding, God was ministering by His Spirit to her and releasing thanksgiving. It's a testimony to us as the body of Christ that we are a grateful, thankful, praise-filled people. And that is a mark of trusting in the Lord, is that we give thanks in all circumstances. A second thing we see in these verses is that honoring the King means we hope in the King with His eternal plan. We hope in the King with His eternal plan. Verse 15 of chapter 3 of Peter is well known about giving an answer to people that ask you. Hope that you have, but the framework is not always well understood. Peter has actually been saying in this chapter, in fact, throughout the letter, he's reminding us as we do good and as we act with kindness and respect to other people, the reality is even people that are persecutors often will respond nicely to us. You know, people like to be treated with respect. So Peter is saying that, you know, to bless others. We've been blessed. But then he says in verse 14, he says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, in other words, even though you're loving others and respecting them, there are still going to be people that just have a beef and antagonism against Christ in us. And it's really ultimately their beef is against Christ. And they will persecute. They will ostracize. He says, so even if that happens, you know, don't fear what they fear. And be ready to give an answer of the hope that you have. And you do this by reverencing Christ as Lord. He's King in your heart. You set Him apart as King. Now, what's this hope all about? It's that in Christ, first of all, we know that even where there's injustice committed against Christians, we know that ultimately our King will bring justice. But also we have an inheritance, an indescribable inheritance that we have in Christ that will never be taken from us. And so we have hope no matter what's going on. And Peter, I think I may be reading a little between the lines, but I think what Peter is saying here is, listen, as you convey this hope in Christ, there are going to be people, even persecutors, that are going to come to faith in Christ because of you. Because they're going to be thinking, wait a minute, I am persecuting you, and yet you not only are not denying Jesus Christ, you are even rejoicing in Him. What goes? How do you have such hope? You have an opportunity then, Peter says, to give witness for Christ. And there will be people who come to faith because of that. Friends, we are ambassadors of hope, as David Bryant points out so clearly in his Proclaim Hope ministry. And that is a great part of our witness. We live in a very broken world, and frankly, a very fearful world. We hear about all the things going on, and yet we have hope because the Lord's still on the throne. I was talking with one of our relatives who had come to visit Marcy when Marcy was up at Harborview. And this relative was talking about some Christians that she knew, husband and wife that were retired, live in Arizona in kind of a rural area. And she was really concerned about them. You know, they claimed to be following Jesus Christ, but she said when she visited them, she realized that, like, every time there's any people that come onto their property, the guy grabs his rifle and goes out and kind of stands there with his rifle. And they're really into thinking these are the end times and the world's going to pot. And so they're very suspicious of everyone. And, you know, I asked her a question. I said, do they really subscribe to conspiracy theories? She said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, yeah, that usually goes with a kind of a sense of paranoia than conspiracy theories. And so it's kind of like everyone's against us. We need to kind of hole up and wait for Christ to come. Friends, where's the witness in that? Peter says people will ask us about the hope we have. And I thought, well, where would anyone ask him about the hope he has? Obviously not. Friends, we are to recognize that we serve a King who's on the throne. Nothing's going to knock Him off the throne. History's moving towards the time when He returns. And He's got things in control, even though it looks like things are out of control. We, until He comes again, are bearers of good news, not bad news, good news about Jesus. And so we honor the King when we let hope shine through us. And then thirdly, we honor our King by serving our King in His earthly mission. That's kind of the dovetailing there. Until He comes again, we are on mission for Him. And we serve Him. That's what Peter's saying in that verse in chapter 2, where he says that live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. You know, they're going to be aware, here we are out there loving our community. Whether it's a snack pack or praying blessing over others, I mean, we are here to serve. And again, Peter reminds us in chapter 4 that God has given us various giftings. He says each one should use whatever gift he has to receive to serve others. That's administering God's grace. We all have gifts, whether that's particular talents or a gift of being placed in a certain place so that we are aside some other people to whom we bear witness. Whatever our station is, we're on duty for the King to serve Him. And I want to tell you, I am blessed to be in a congregation that takes that seriously. You are servers of the King. We have been recipients of your service the last few weeks. Because service starts with the body of Christ. Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. It starts in the body of Christ and then moves out from there. We have been blessed with your service, your prayer support, and very practical support. We had people that would come and stay overnight with Marcy so that Jeanette and I could come home and get rest. People sacrificing their time to come and stay overnight with Marcy. People, especially in those first few critical days at Valley and at Harborview, people who would come up and just be in a waiting room interceding in prayer, playing hooky from work and stuff like that. Why? To serve the King, because they sensed the call. And many of you are praying. I thank you for that. But some sensed the call, go on site and pray. That's serving the King with the calling and gifting that you had. We are so blessed. But you know, then it starts in the body of Christ, but then we're always on duty whenever and however the Lord opens up a door. I'm going to give you an illustration here, an example. But I know there are hundreds of examples in this room that you could all relate to where God has used you. One night, Jeanette and I, when we were leaving, the person had come to stay overnight with Marcy, and so we were leaving, but a little later than we had thought, but it's always God's timing. And we were on our way through the lobby there at Harborview, on out to the parking garage. And there was one other person there. There was a lady, and she was wandering around looking a little bit confused. So we went to her and said, do you need any help? She said, yeah, I'm not sure which way. And she mentioned, one of the streets she wanted to get out on. And we got to talking with her and found out that 7 years ago, her son had been admitted to Harborview with some bacterial illness, and it was very serious. In fact, at one point, they said, "I told his mom, we don't think we can save him, because he's that serious." But she said there was a man who came in to Harborview, and he had some oil, and he said, "Could I pray with your son?" And she said, "Yes," and he prayed for, anointed the son, prayed for him. And she said, later that day, my son turned a corner and began getting better. So he survived. He got out. Well, now he was back in Harborview because he had had an eye injury. And so he'd been there for 2 days. So and we said to her, he said, well, could we pray for him? And we got her name and his name. And as we said that, I mean, she reached right out and grabbed our hands just like that. And so the three of us stood in a circle there, and we prayed for her and for John and for Marcy. It was a God timing thing. Just we're always on duty for the King to serve Him. And again, I say, I am so blessed because you are hearing that call from the King, and you are serving the King of Kings. We're always serving the King. We're always filled with hope from our King. And we always give praise and thanks to our King because we have a King who has ever shown His love for us at the cross, where He bled and died to forgive our sins, to reconcile us to the Father out of His deep sacrificial love, and has now risen from the dead and reigns as Lord and King over all. And He's created a kingdom where he has purchased a people by his blood, and that's us. And many, many others. A people who now trust him, obey him, are just filled with praise, imbued with his hope, and find delight in serving the King of Kings. That's our King. And he's present right now in this room with us. He's present to touch, to heal, to bring hope. And I want us to come to prayer right now and invite the King by his Holy Spirit to touch us where our need is. Lord Jesus, you are King. You're on the throne. And you have made your presence known to us by your Holy Spirit who resides within us. And we pray now, Holy Spirit, you'd come upon us. And Lord, as you search the hearts of those of us in the room, first of all, would you cleanse us? We confess before you those times and those ways we have not served you as King. We've not honored you as King through our trust, through our praise and our thanks. Father, we lay that at the foot of the cross now and ask your cleansing and forgiveness. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we do this, you are most willing to forgive. And we thank you that this morning, as we were singing those songs earlier, as we were brought into the presence, your presence in the heavenlies, as we sang that last song of that block, we pray that the Spirit of God would inflame us with passion, a new passion for you, Lord Jesus, as our King. And as our King, you know everything about us. Even the things that are in the dark for us are not in the dark for you. You are light. And you know who in this room right now may be struggling with a lack of hope. And Holy Spirit, we invite you now, would you fill those people with the hope that we have in Christ? You know who here is struggling with a relationship issue. And we pray now, Holy Spirit, you would bring grease, your oil, your fresh love, your perseverance, your presence into those relationships. You know who here is struggling with some physical ailment. And we pray, Lord Jesus, since you are the healer, that you would touch those people with your healing touch to bring your strength, your blood, cleansing our blood. And you know those who are here who are maybe struggling with spiritual vision, seeing you in your greatness, struggling maybe with doubts about their faith, doubts about them. Would you plant that mustard seed, Lord Jesus, that mustard seed of faith that would grow and be nurtured by the Spirit so that the eyes would be open to see the riches we have in our glorious inheritance in you. Whatever the need might be, Jesus, you are the King. We pray for your grace and mercy upon us, and we thank you for that. Thank you that you are not done with any of us, individually or corporately. But the work you've begun in us, you will bring to completion the day that you come home. Thank you, Lord. We commit ourselves afresh to you. We are your subjects, your servants, but also your friends, your children. We bless you. We love you. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and all God's people said. Amen. Amen.